Sorry about that. We're going to get started. If you can start making your way to your seats, and if you're out in the hallways, if you are planning to come back in, we're going to start here very soon. So give you a few minutes. I'm going to talk for just a little bit, just as a segue into our time this morning. But as I've mentioned before, these Celebration Sundays are a really sweet day because we get to come together as a church family to, as the name implies, celebrate the work that the Lord is doing here at Newcastle. And in particular, we're always grateful for the way that the Lord is building his church. The Lord builds his church by saving souls. The Lord builds his church by seeing people join in membership to the church. The Lord builds his church through new births and children who come into the fold here at this church family. And so this is a sweet day that we get each and every quarter to be able to celebrate together as a church family. And we're going to begin this morning with our baptisms. As I mentioned before, we have 8 individuals who are being baptized today. What baptism is, in case there's any confusion, because there's no saving effect of this water that we have up here. This is just normal water that comes straight from the spigot, a little bit warmed up, but it has no saving power. It has no efficacy to it itself. It's merely symbolic, and its symbolism is that of the grave, understanding that Jesus died, and he died for our sins. He was buried as if to do away with those sins completely, but then he was raised from the grave, and that resurrection symbolizes the newness of life that he brings. And so when we read passages in Scripture, like 2 Corinthians 5:17, that remind us that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. That's the idea here, that the old self has died because of Christ, and now a new person has come in their place. And so all of these individuals here are testifying today of the new creation work that the Lord has done in their life by saving them, by bringing them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And now they have the privilege to identify in that picture that baptism represents of this death to self and resurrection to newness of life. And so looking forward to this today. So we have 8. We're going to get started here. I'm going to invite Austin Thacker forward to first share with our church family. All right, Austin, thank you for being here today. If you would you please share with our church family why you desire to be baptized today?
Yep. My name is Austin Thacker. My wife, Lauren, and I and our son started coming to Newcastle in November. We've enjoyed getting to know some of the members and the leadership team here. Why I'm getting baptized today, I grew up in a church that did not practice adult baptism. I was baptized as a baby and later confirmed as a teenager. But after going through the new members class here, I learned that what Scripture says about baptism, not what tradition says, but what the Bible actually teaches. So here's what stood out to me. The Greek word for baptize means to plunge or immerse in water. Baptism is a public profession of faith and union with Christ, something you must personally understand and choose. And even Jesus was baptized by immersion in Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. As I studied Scripture, I realized that I never made the personal public declaration of my own faith, and that's why I'm here today. I'm grateful that I grew up in a home where my parents brought me and my siblings to church. They gave me a foundation of faith that I still appreciate. My teen years and early adulthood, I drifted away from regular church attendance, prayer, and living in a way that honored Christ. One of my most difficult moments earlier in my life was losing my sister, Elise, suddenly at the age of 27. I struggled to understand why God allowed that to happen over time, I learned that it doesn't. We don't always get answers, and we don't have to. God is still good, even when we don't understand. Later in my 20s, I met Lauren, my wife. Very early on, I remember thinking I made a good decision. Looking back, I believe God was guiding my steps and drawing me back to him. After we got engaged, we prayed and searched for a church to call home. That's when I met Pastor Ben Watt, who's here today, and him and his men's ministry helped me a lot growing in my faith. After we got engaged, we got married, and soon after we found out that we were expecting our first son, Colton, and he was born very small by emergency C-section. Our second son, Kaysen, decided to top that story. He was also an emergency C-section after Lauren fell and broke her ankle before he arrived.
I guess sibling rivalry started early. With Colton's birth, our first son, I struggled to keep my faith. I worried and constantly tried to control things that were never mine to control. But with Kaysen's birth, even though I was concerned, I felt calmness. Even when the doctor, he was being delivered, and immediately started working on him to get him breathing. Lauren asked me if everything was okay. I told her yes, not because I knew, but because I knew God was in control. Through all the trials and tribulations of my life, everything changed when I finally chose to acknowledge that God is in control and I am not. I became more patient, more grateful, more loving, less angry, less bitter, controlling, and selfish. Most importantly, I learned that laying down my own pride and trusting God's power and grace go hand in hand. I am still a work in progress, just like all of us, but I know God will continue to shape me as I keep giving him praise and asking him to change my heart and my mind. Today I'm being baptized to publicly declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior and that I am trusting him with my life.
Excellent. All right, have a seat here, Austin. Thank you for your wonderful testimony. It's been a joy to get to know you and your wife through the new members class over the last several months. It's sweet to see you guys connecting with our church family and for you to take this very important step. So, Austin, it's because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ that I now baptize you in the name of our Lord and Savior, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good job, all right. Next, I'm going to invite Kevin Moody to come forward.
I want to be baptized today to symbolize how Jesus washed my sins away and because he instructed us to follow his example by doing this. Today is my public announcement of my faith in Jesus who has died for my sins. I wasn't born into a Christian home. I didn't grow up in church, although I did attend several vacation Bible schools when I was young. Life didn't seem to have a purpose for me. I knew I didn't want to go to hell and did not like the way my life was headed. A few years ago, God started to reveal that something needed to change. I was under a great deal of stress, turmoil, and conviction. It was time to do something different. Several of my friends had turned to God, and I watched as God turned their lives around. I desperately wanted that too. I saw them begin to bond with their family and watched that they enjoyed their life with God in it, and that seemed so much happier. Around that time, God brought someone into my life. I started to go to church with her. God spoke to her heart and my heart and let me know that I did not have to be sad and lonely anymore. God was the answer for me too. I welcomed Jesus into my heart, and I asked him to forgive me for my sins. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. I asked God to help me with my struggles, and he helped me through the tough times. I'm working on learning all I can about the Word of God so that I can get closer to him. I'm happy, enjoying life, and it's good to hear myself laugh again. I am so grateful to have Jesus in my life. The stress of my sin and shame is gone. I am not perfect by any means. I know that without Jesus, I am nothing and would be lost. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am so excited I will be in heaven one day, reunited with family that have gone on before me. Forever with Jesus for all eternity because I have trusted in that truth.
Kevin, once again, also, likewise, it's been a joy to get to know you over the last several months, to hear your story and to be a part of the members class together. I love just hearing how the Lord has directed you to himself over the course of time and his perfect timing. So now it's because of your profession of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Right. Next we have Tim Kennel coming forward here. Tim, if you would, please share with us why you desire to be baptized today.
I want to be baptized to follow in Jesus' commandment for baptism and to publicly express unity with Christ's death and resurrection.
Excellent. Would you be willing to share your story with our church family today?
Yeah, so despite having heard the gospel message, for many years I never truly understood the implications of Christ's death on the cross for my sin and my need for salvation. I viewed God as something detached or separate from my situation, with little significance for my personal life. My relationship with God was unimportant and inconsequential compared to other things in my life. I was alienated from God and lived according to the desires of the flesh, without any regard for God's will for my life. I struggled with pride and selfishness and placed immense value on my wants, my needs, my grades, my money, and my future. Everything and everybody else in my life was of secondary importance to my personal achievement. It's hard to pinpoint an exact moment of conversion, but verses like 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things of this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. These verses convicted me of my sinful life and showed me that while I confessed to be a Christian, I was not truly saved and was dead in my sin. Despite being separated from God, he still loved me and died for my sin. Colossians 2 says, and you who were dead in the trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against him with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Because I have faith in Jesus Christ, and even though I was once dead in sin, Romans 8:1 says that there exists now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God's grace alone saved me, and my salvation is a gift from God that I had nothing to do with. I deserve to spend eternity in hell, but thanks to the infinite mercy of God, I will live forever in his presence. Verses that I have found encouraging are Romans 14:8. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. These verses have reminded me that while the things of this world are fleeting, God's love is unending and unchanging, and our hope as Christians lies in Christ alone.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the testimony. It's been fun to watch you grow up over the years. You're one of the first kiddos that went all through the time that I was in student ministry there, and so it was fun to see where you began and where you're at now with the Lord today. So it's a sweet blessing to be able to baptize you today. So it's because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that I have the privilege now to baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. All right. Next, we get a double dose of Kennel today. We have Brother Josh, who is here to share his story with us as well. So Josh, first of all, why are you coming to be baptized today?
I want to be baptized to answer the call of Jesus in Acts 2, to express my faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ, and to announce my allegiance to him as the one true King.
Excellent. And would you be willing to share your story with our church family today?
Growing up at Newcastle, I've been blessed to be taught and surrounded by many Christ-focused men and women. I've had the Awana and Rooted lessons taught to me time and time again, and listened to all the amazing speakers from both summer and winter camps. I asked Jesus to save me when I was around 5 or 6, but I don't think I fully put my trust in him until much later, around my freshman year of high school. For the majority of my life, I knew about God, knew I was supposed to be saved, and thought I was saved, but church stayed mostly at church, and outside of it, I was just another kid growing up. I would act like a Christian, do what a Christian does, and speak like a Christian speaks, but there was little to no understanding of what putting my trust in God actually looked like, and no real effort to know God more. Upon entering high school, I began to realize how deprived my spiritual life was. With no strong foundation in Christ, I began to be influenced more and more by the world. With a background in the church, I could feel how I was sliding into sin and away from God. Looking back, I had a lot in common with the seed sown on rocky ground, and with no strong roots in God, I was struggling spiritually. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." I recognize that I was conforming to the world when I should have been seeking righteousness and sanctification through the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we are called to set ourselves apart, not laying up our treasures on earth, but laying them up in heaven. The second part of Romans 6:2 says, "How can we who died to sin still live in it?" I was ashamed to be a self-professing Christian who was still living in sin, but acting like I was better than other people. I recognized my need for transformation and made that a pillar in my prayer life for the last couple of years. A speaker at CrossCon this year challenged people to be iceberg Christians, where what the world sees in you is only a fraction of the true work that Christ has begun in you and the Holy Spirit is continuing every day. This was and is an encouragement and challenge to me to dive deeper than ever into God's glory and to strive to become a man of God, laying aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and running with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Looking back at the last couple of years, I am so thankful to see the works of God in my life and the way that he has transformed me. I am very excited to continue my walk with God and see what he does in my life in the years to come.
Amen. Go ahead and have a seat here, Josh. Once again, also, it's been a joy to see you grow up over the years, to see where you've come since your time in student ministry, and just to see now the trajectory that the Lord has you on with his life. So thankful for your testimony today and thankful for your profession of faith in Christ. And it's on the basis of that profession that I now have the privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, Rebecca Smith, come on forward. All right, Rebecca, would you be willing to share with our church why you desire to be baptized today?
I want to be baptized to publicly share my love for Jesus and dedicate my life to his glory. I also want to be obedient to him and follow his plans for me.
Excellent. And would you be willing to share your story with us today?
My story starts pretty average. I was raised in a Christian household. I went to church, I joined Awana, did Bible studies, prayed at meals, and served in my community. My mom told me that I first asked about salvation when I was almost 4 years old, after hearing people being saved over the radio in the car. She then talked to me and explained what it meant and that we needed Jesus because we are sinners. While I may not have truly understood the deeper meaning of it all, I told my mom I wanted to let Jesus into my heart too, and we prayed together. It wasn't until a couple years later that I went to a VBS program and learned more about salvation. They taught me that the ultimate penalty for our sin is death, but Jesus already paid it all. Because he bore my sin on the cross, I am saved. That summer, I rededicated my life to him. After that, my life changed. I have always struggled with anxiety and night terrors as a child, but Jesus was always there to comfort me. God has given me so much joy and peace, and I wanted to share his goodness with others too. I constantly told kids at school Bible stories and brought them Bibles to read. However, my anxiety worsened once I started high school. I was still rooted in Christ, but I was scared to outwardly show my faith. I was afraid that people wouldn't like me if I was too godly, so I began to hide my identity in Christ. My anxiety got worse, and I became depressed because I was trying so hard to fit in with my peers and please those around me. This was especially hard when I started college at Bradley University and was not surrounded by the faith-based community I had grown up with. Especially in the busyness of school, I struggled to feel loved and valued, though so many of my Christian friends and family were constantly pointing me to the one who ultimately knew me and loved me. I knew God was working in my life, but I struggled to trust him and sought validation from others to fill the hole in my life. I made the excuses that I didn't have enough time and was too exhausted to spend time with Jesus instead of surrendering everything. Though I still loved the Lord, I was living for myself and for the world instead of for him. In fact, I was so obsessed with fixing myself that I failed to see that only God can fix my heart. For a long time, I was afraid to get baptized because I felt I had to be a better Christian and fix my faith when I should have just given it all to God. Because of his mercy and grace, Jesus wants us to come as we are. This means anxiety and all, because only he can sanctify us. My favorite verse, Joshua 1:9, has helped me through some of my darkest moments. It states, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Even in my anxiety, I know that Jesus is there supporting me through it all. Since the renewal of my heart, I have felt God in every circumstance. He continues to give me strength, peace, and ceaseless joy in my anxiety and depression. I am so very thankful for all of those who have supported me, but I know my life would be nothing without Jesus.
Amen. Thank you so much, Becca. Have a seat there. Once again, it's been a joy to watch you grow up over the years and to see your journey through student ministry and where the Lord has you now. Seems like, again, your profession of faith in Christ just is bringing a sense of peace in an important season of life where you're right now. So, well, it's because of your profession of faith, Becca, and Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that I have the privilege now to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
All right, we have Braden Gingrich next up.
Why do you want to be baptized today?
I want to publicly just confess my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Would you please tell us more about that, your testimony?
Yeah. So I'm Braden Gingrich. My favorite verse is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My story starts very early in my life when I was in foster care, going from family to family. I met my adoptive family when I was 4, and I got adopted when I was 8. I started to struggle with my relationship with my parents and had a hard time dealing with my feelings. I couldn't control my anger and lashed out at my siblings when I got annoyed. I felt like I yelled at my parents and threw a tantrum every other night. Graciously, God put me in a family that is very patient and forgiving and convicted me of my sin of wrath. Over time, my family helped me to control my anger and taught me from the Bible about how God forgives us. As I grew up in Puggles, Cubbies, and Sparks, I read the Bible and memorized scripture. I got saved one night when I was in 5th or 6th grade. I can't remember the exact date, but I can't forget the moment. I was up late one night, staring at the stars and realizing how small and insignificant I was, how much I needed Jesus as my Savior. I've always known that I needed to be baptized, but I kept putting it off because I was afraid of speaking in front of people. I was convicted when I heard Pastor Scott's sermon, "What Shall We Do?" and realized that I needed to put my fear aside and publicly confess my faith. I'm not perfect, and God's still at work within me, and I know that I have brothers and sisters in Christ to help me when I fall. I now stand here today to challenge you that if you are saved, you should get baptized too. If you're not saved, I urge you to talk to an elder today and make the commitment of placing Jesus as your Savior. It'll change your life forever. Thank you.
Braden, it's been a joy getting to know you and Rooted, and I'm just looking forward to see what the God has in store for you upon your profession of faith.
Luke is up next. Come on up. All right, Luke, just share a little bit of your testimony and why you want to be baptized today for us.
I want to be baptized today because I've decided to put my faith in Jesus and come to know him as my Savior. I grew up in a Christian family. I've gone to church all my life, and for a lot of my life, I thought that was enough. It wasn't until I went to a church camp and heard a sermon on Romans 6:23 that my life started changing. I started reading my Bible every day and praying. After that, I heard a sermon one morning and it really convicted me that I was living for myself and my desires rather than Jesus. I was chasing my own wants and desires, and at that point, I knew for sure I needed to be saved. I started praying about it and decided to turn my life over to Jesus.
Upon his profession of faith, now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay, next up we have Trina Steinlage. All right, Trina, please share your testimony with us and just why you want to be baptized.
I want my testimony to be an inspiration to those who feel their story isn't big and flashy enough to share. The fact is, we've all sinned, and no matter how much worse off we think others may have been, God doesn't weigh our sins in the better or worse style. To him, all sins are worthy of the same punishment, death. We're all stuck in the same place, so all of our stories matter, not only the big ones. I've grown up in a Christian family, gone to this church my whole life, and have had wonderful teachers in Sunday school and Awana. My story isn't a huge, jaw-dropping comeback story, but it is a comeback story in a different way, and it is huge. I was lost and on my way to eternal destruction in hell. I was hopeless to change any of that. But that was before Jesus stepped into my heart and my life. Now this is my story. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When I first gave my life to Christ, I still wondered if God really wanted me. Would he accept such failure? I talked to my mom, and she told me that these were lies that Satan was trying to get me to believe. God wasn't, and isn't, looking down on me in disappointment or regret over having saved me. John 3:16 through 17 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God does not condemn me. He wants me, and I can come to him always. Over the years, I've grown in better love, joy, peace, patience, though I don't think I'll ever stop needing to grow in that one, and even self-control. But I still struggle with it all. I've certainly grown in my knowledge of Christ. My mom gave my siblings and me a book called The Heart of Jesus, and it talked of Jesus being gentle and lowly, things I'd never considered before. I'd always heard and known of Jesus as having unrelenting love and grace, but with this book, the reality of it all hit me. It became real. Jesus loves me. He cares for me. He died for me. And he will forgive me and clean me whenever I repent of my sins, no matter what I've done. And when I do, I know that I'm forgiven and clean because 1 John 1:9 says, For if we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I realize that being a Christian will be difficult. Not only do people not like it, but in some parts of the world, people absolutely abhor and try to destroy it. I may suffer for my faith. And I'll have life's natural hardships apart from all that. But three verses tell us the results of holding on, no matter the pain or hardship. Romans 8:18 says, For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory which shall be revealed to us. And 2 Corinthians 4:17 states, For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And Matthew 5:11 through 12 says, Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil falsely against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. No matter how big or small the affliction, even coping with sickness, death, or even losing friends, and I may be afraid when the time comes, I will always have Christ to lean on. You may not have a big jaw-dropping story either. But it matters. Jesus said in Matthew 18:12 through 13, What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he finds it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than the 99 that did not go astray. I hope that if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, you will be inspired to do so. He rejoices over the finding of one lost sheep,
and all of heaven rejoice in it too.
Amen. All right. Well, that profession is a symbol of your new birth. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
All right, we're going to move on to parent-child dedications, but before we do that, I want to pray for all those who are baptized. Normally, we might take a little longer for that, but we got so much to pack in. So I'm going to pray, ask you to bow with me, and praise God for this. Father, we are so, so grateful to see changed lives, and this is a true spiritual reality of what's taking place in their hearts. God, thank you for rebirthing us. Thank you for choosing us. And as we've heard and the men and women this morning have testified, there's nothing in us that we've merited from you, and yet you've done it. Thank you for that great and personal love and mercy towards us. I ask that you would continue to be with each of them, strongly working in them, producing fruit in Christ's likeness, and having them be testimonies with mouths and with their actions of your love and of your forgiveness for the world that needs it. In Jesus' name, amen.
So good. Oh. I mean, that's like all we need here this morning, it feels like. thank you so much to all of our participants in baptism this morning. Your testimonies have been such an encouragement, primarily through the lens of what the Lord has done, right? Each of them coming just from a different angle of that, but helping us better understand the saving grace of the Lord and how it works in such powerful and different manifestations. So grateful for them, and grateful for the opportunity this morning to be able to also keep celebrating the fact that the Lord is building our church by bringing new babies in. I think I mentioned it last week, but it's just, I love being able to come here on Sundays and just hear babies crying and cooing and making all kinds of noises and seeing people busy with babies. That is a sign of the Lord's blessing on families. It is a gift we are certainly grateful for. And we're certainly grateful when we have families who really are resolved from an early stage to want to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so that's why we set aside time in these services for parents who desire to dedicate both themselves and to the Lord and their children to raising their kids in the way of the Lord. And so we're going to be able to do that today. So I'm actually going to invite the Glick family up. We actually originally had two families that were on docket today, but one of our families came down with some illness this weekend, and so they weren't able to partake today. They'll do so later on this summer at our next service, but invite Brad and Bella. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, you get the front and center stage here. And they are bringing with them Miss Evangeline Evie Rose Glick. Oh, and her nice sweater today. She has truly lived up to her name, Evie. She was born December 31st, New Year's Eve, 2025. So living up to the name. Brad and Bella, has been a treat to get to know you guys over the year, being able to do your wedding just a little over a year ago, and now just seeing this bundle of joy that's joined your family as well. So excited to be able to partake with this with your family here today. Again, for those of you who haven't been here before, our parent-child dedications, sometimes there can be some confusion to that. Just making it very clear, this is not necessarily Newcastle's equivalent of infant baptism. This is not as if we are imparting some saving grace or bestowed extra blessing upon this child, as if this is going to change anything transformationally or fundamentally for them. Nor is this a necessarily our show and tell that we have for our church, but I mean, it's hard not to be admiring the cuteness that is up here. In fact, we don't really have a scriptural command to do something like this, but we do it because we believe in the Lord's blessing upon families and his establishment of households, This is a way to encourage the church as well as to encourage our parents in their God-given role and responsibility to bring their children up in the way of the Lord. And so we take these signs very seriously. It's a great privilege to be able to do this, to come alongside families and bless them. And so I'm going to go ahead and ask some questions. So Brad and Bella, these first couple questions are going to be for you guys to respond here to individually and then together. So would you, if this is the affirmation of your heart, so if this is your desire, please respond back to these questions with "we will." So first of all, by the grace of God and the power of His Holy Spirit, will you individually renew your commitment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength as an example of Christ-like love to Evangeline and as well as your church family? By the grace of God and the power of His Holy Spirit, will you together renew your commitment to love one another by upholding the sacred covenant of marriage and putting the sacrificial picture of the gospel on display for Evangeline, your church family, and your local community to see?
We will.
Brad and Bella, by God's grace and the power of His Holy Spirit, will you commit yourselves today to raising Evangeline in the instruction and discipline of the Lord, teaching her the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that she may, by God's grace, be given what she needs to become a young woman who fears the Lord?
We will.
Excellent. Well, church, this is now your part. And because we make it very clear whenever we are joining with individuals in our commitment to them, we do stand and we acknowledge that. So I'm going to invite you to stand. And if you are a member of Newcastle Bible Church, I'm going to ask you a particular question here. So this is particularly, especially for you, if you're a member here of this church, I'm going to ask you about your commitment to Brad and to Bella and to Evangeline as well. So church, if this is your affirmation as well, you'll respond with, "We will." So church, by the grace of God and the power of His Holy Spirit, will you commit today to coming alongside Brad and Bella to encourage and support them in their parental responsibilities and to serve them by caring for the spiritual well-being of Evangeline as she grows up in this local church assembly? Will you do that? Amen. Well, it is exciting to be able to join you guys and being able to be a part of this. I'm going to pray for your dear family. This is a certificate for you guys. They've also gotten a copy of Ted Tripp's book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, which is one of the best resources out there for nurturing children from an early age in their understanding of the gospel. So let me pray for this dear family. You pray alongside me as you're standing here, and then you can be seated once we're over. So, Father, we are once again grateful. We are reminded that scriptures say that a child is a gift from above. Lord, it is a blessing, and we never want to overlook that. We understand that there are many, even in our own church family, who long for children, who desire children, who maybe have not been able to, or whatever circumstances. And so we certainly acknowledge that, while also simultaneously thanking you for the gift of Evangeline. It has been a joy to watch her already growing up in this church, to see how well loved she is by so many in this church family. I pray that you would be with them, with Brad and Bella in particular. Lord, help them in their early stages still of marriage. Lord, they're only just a little over a year married, and so pray that you would continue to strengthen them in their love for one another, knowing that their love for one another ultimately is an expression and an extension of their love for you. So give them the prioritization of their own walk with you, that they would give them themselves fully to know and to love the Lord their God, that they would see the blessings in their own marriage, and that that would overflow then into their love for Evangeline, and that they would show this little gal Christ-like love and sacrifice and joy. I pray that you would give them wisdom as they seek to know how to parent her in all of her intricacies, her personalities, as those get older and become more and more evident with time. Give them much grace, Lord. We need you. We know that you are the perfect Father, and that there is much that we can learn from your example in Christ Jesus. So give them much grace in this new stage of their lives. Help us as a church as we faithfully come alongside them to show love and encouragement and uphold them in the Lord. So we pray for your blessing upon this dear family today. Uphold them by your grace and your strength, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Thank you, too. Appreciate it. You guys can be seated. Next, I'm going to invite Pastor Josh to come forward and share a little bit about new members.
As you've been seeing in the book of Acts, the Lord there in the early church was adding day by day those who were being saved. Sometimes it was 3,000, sometimes 5,000. Sometimes we don't get the numbers, but one thing we do know that in each and every case, those were very specific individual people who were becoming part of his body. And they knew in that first century world that making such a public commitment was dangerous. It would cost them perhaps even their lives. It would cost them a lot of things, and they were still willing to do that for the sake of Jesus. So they clearly committed themselves to the local church there. Now, in our culture, we don't particularly have that level of danger that we face, and it's not as risky, so to speak, to make that profession for Christ, at least at this present time. But it's still really important to do that. We have biblical grounds to profess our commitment to the local body. And that's what these different folks are doing today. They are saying that they would like to be part of Newcastle Bible Church, and they're going to make that commitment. And then we as a church will renew our commitment and receive these members in. So as I announce you, if you'd be able to come forward and just stand up here, at the very end, we'd like to invite those of you who are baptized today, as well as the new members, to remain up here. And then we'll give the church an opportunity to come forward and to express their appreciation and gratitude for what God has done. So ultimately today we're doing this because of God's work. Just as he was adding to his church in Acts there, he's adding as well. So this is completely God's work here. But Marilyn Halfley, we'll invite you to come forward. We're thankful that you become a part of Newcastle Bible Church. We know that just a number of these folks have made Newcastle their home church more in recent times. So we're thankful for that, as they've taken the new member class and had interviews with the elders and been able to share their testimonies and what the Lord has done in their life. And so we would wholeheartedly recommend them for membership here. Adeline Holman. Adeline, of course, has been here at Newcastle from birth on, and so we're thankful that she's been willing to make this commitment today as well. Morgan Kennel, if you'd be able to come forward. Of course, Morgan married Daniel, and they're expecting their first, and thankful to have Morgan officially on board here. Kevin Moody, we're thankful for that baptism, and then not only that, but to be able to make that public commitment here as well to become part of Newcastle. We have Hunter Schrafer, if you'd be able to come forward. We've got Hunter and Jordan. Thankful for you both, and too, the willingness to make Newcastle your home church here. And then we have Austin and Laura Thacker. So, of course, Austin was just baptized, and his wife, Lauren, and know that you've been plugging in here at Newcastle, and we're very thankful that you're here today as well. So I'm going to ask all of you up here, the new members, I'll say a few statements, and you'll just respond, if you're able to do that, with "we will." So as members of Newcastle Bible Church, will you fully submit yourselves to the authority of God's Holy Scriptures? Will you joyfully follow the leadership of your God-appointed elders? Will you regularly participate in our church's gatherings for the purpose of corporate worship, prayer, fellowship, and service? Will you generously steward your God-given resources and spiritual gifts for the spread of gospel ministry? Will you faithfully preserve the unity of our church with a spirit of love and humility? Will you intentionally care for the members of our church by praying for them, speaking truth to them, and carrying burdens with them? Will you humbly pursue a life of holiness that proclaims the glory of God to the watching world? Will you readily embrace God's plan for spiritual restoration when sin becomes evident in your lives? Should God move you from this church, will you prayerfully unite with another church where you can carry out the spirit of these commitments? Thank you. Then I will invite you, if you're a member of Newcastle Bible Church, if you would be able to stand, and I'll ask you a question as you receive these new members in. So, church, today, will you renew your spiritual commitment to this church and joyfully receive these new members into our spiritual family? Thank you. You may be seated. So, if you'll just remain up here, we have one more recognition. Last year, Bill Mayo approached me, and he wanted to do something with the time that the Lord had given him. He didn't know how much time he had. The doctors were telling him it'd be a rather short time, but he wanted to be able to give back to the Lord's work in that. So he asked about the idea of doing an equipping class, and he's actually done two of those. And so in the recognition of that, in his unwavering devotion to Christ and the church, and with strength and humility and a heart full of love, he has used his remaining days to teach, to encourage, and to build up the body of Christ. And I think speaking for those of you who were in his class, his faithfulness has left an impact, an imprint on your life, and his example will continue to inspire us to serve the Lord with joy and perseverance. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 15:58 that says, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." So what an incredible impact that is to recognize that our time is short and to ask the question, how can I use my days in a way that will glorify God and serve his people? And then to step forward and say, show me how to do that. And so that is what we're honoring today, that God, through Bill, has been able to use his life in a way that will touch many of us. So we would, on behalf of the church, we would present this certificate of honor and faithful service to him for his work. So if you'll conclude with me, let's pray together, and then we'll invite you up to have an opportunity to express your appreciation to God and each and every one of these people up here, and invite you to, if you've been baptized and you're not already up here, to come up here too. So we'll end in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. We celebrate today. We celebrate because of your work, Lord. Only you could do this. Only you could make dead live again. Only you could bring people in. Only you could do these things. We know that we could try to do things through performance or show or whatever the case is, but that would not have a lasting impact, and it would not truly bring people in for the right reason here. So, Father, we're thankful for your work. We pray that you will continue that. We pray that you will continue to be at work in the lives of all of these individuals and in your church. And we look forward to each and every time we can get together to celebrate days like this. So what a fitting celebration this is today, a celebration, Lord, of your faithfulness and your goodness and your grace. So go with us now and protect us and watch over us, and especially for those here today who were baptized, who dedicated their children to the Lord, and who now have become new members. Thank you again, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. So again, I invite you as a church to come forward in the remaining time before our service starts. And if you were baptized and you want to come up here as well, that would be great. Thank you.